How do the arts help us find purpose and meaning? What role do stories play in helping us preserve memories, connect us to each other, and answer life's big questions? The Creative Process Podcast is supported by the Jan Michalski Foundation.
The world is very busy, and we do tend to get sort of a bit sidetracked with things which are actually not important. Creativity is a way to reconnect with the things that are important. Literature is a big part of what I'm about in a way. You know, I love stories, music, literature, visual art. These are all ways to experience how another mind encounters the world. And that for me is really the most exciting thing about it. You know, when you're reading a piece of writing by someone or you're seeing a piece of visual art, you're seeing a window into that person's encounter with reality, that person's biography, what things mean to them. And then you can compare notes. You know, you can compare notes with that person. How is it that person sees these things, and how do I see these things? And it's a way to understand one another. And I think that's really one of the most important things that creativity does in our world. Our children, they're facing, probably some of the biggest challenges we've ever faced in the way they're existential. And I think, you know, the kinds of narratives, the kinds of perspectives that we put into the world with creativity can be a way to sort of elevate the gaze a little bit. You know, just, you know, speaking for myself, you know, somebody who lived 250 years ago, Beethoven makes my life better just every day. It's not huge, but it's a little bit better every day. And I think that's what creativity can do.
When you immigrate, it's kind of like you're going through adolescence because you're in a new place. You feel weird in your own skin. You're learning new things. Everything's changing. You feel awkward. So that also helped us to kind of like connect the adult stories to the children's stories.
I think challenges are part of every life, right? And they're the things that help us grow. Adversity is the thing that helps us grow. And yes, adversity can be struggle, but it can also be educational. It can also be victorious. It can also be, you know, it can lead you towards bigger and better things if you accept the challenge. And I think that's such a huge part of both immigration and adolescence. And, you know, our family meets adversity with a smile, which is how I think both Claudia and I live our lives. And we try to pass that message on because that's something that's inevitable. In any life, there's adversity. And when you've got optimism on your side, when you have a positive outlook, when you keep trying and don't let people get to you, that's what ends up letting you push past and getting you towards your goals and your dreams.
When I think of America and what America is, it's the nation built by immigrants that continues to succeed in large part because of the influx of immigrants to this day. And it's, you know, sometimes I describe it as the United States as like a club, right? It's this wonderful club. So many people want to be a part of it. And you need new members. And immigrants are like the new members that are kind of like the born again Americans that come here. And like, they're the ones that believe in America the most because everything's new to them and they've sacrificed so much to be here. So for me, something that I wish people could garner from this series is the fact that immigrants built this nation and we continue co-creating this nation with those who aren't immigrants as well.
For me, there is something about art that it's not a monologue, it's a dialogue. And you know, some people, let's say, it doesn't matter who they speak to, they will speak in the same way. They would speak to a five-year-old or to an intellectual or to somebody who doesn't speak the language very well. They would speak the same way and they don't care because this is what they have to say. But I think that the natural thing in a dialogue is really to look in the eyes of the person you speak to and see when he understands or when she doesn't understand or when she's moved or when he's angry, and basically out of that kind of create your own language. Because my mom grew up in a period where they were excited about Nazi ideology, and my mom knew that this wasn't a good thing. So this idea of kind of making up your own story instead of taking other people's story is something that was very important. You know, when I was a child, my mother didn't allow children book in our home because she insisted on making the stories for us. And for her, basically it was kind of like the idea of reading us a classic from a book was like ordering a pizza instead of cooking dinner. It meant that she didn't care about us. And she felt, because her parents told her bedtime stories in the ghetto where they had no access to books, and she saw how those people who were broken and angry and hurting could still find in their imagination a brand new story that they made for somebody that they loved. So for her, it was this kind of generosity and something that could not be compared to buying Alice in Wonderland and reading it to somebody. You had to give more than that.
I grew up in New York City, sneak down. I'd go see shows at like La Mama and Wooster Group and all of these sort of heavy hitting, really alternative theaters that they're there, but I don't know that they're in the same fashion. And political process driven theater was really, for me, my first love. We exist in a world that is so fast moving, and I'm not sure that's a gain, bonus. There always has to be a check-in. And I find working with Kate, I've always felt that I never had to fear that my process was taking a long time. There was never a sense of like, what have you got? Show it right now. Okay. Oh, you haven't got it. You know, with Kate, it's like you're being wrapped in this enormous teddy bear of artistic freedom and care. And I think that for me has always been a, because I do enough TV and film, you know, sometimes the bigger the budget, you know, sometimes. So I'm always glad to just relax in the creative process. And I'm always very grateful for that. I think it's why I do so much indie film, because it's really fun.
I don't know why we would really want to tell stories without being connected to the meaning. And I also think that that's, especially for women, but I do think for human beings, that is how we do be able to work as hard as we do and be able to get up the next morning and keep going, right? Is because we're working through the meaning, and it actually feeds us as we're like making sense of it all, trying to make sense of it. And being in community and in communion, if I dare say that as an ex-Catholic, to be sharing a witness of what it is to be human and what it means, and through this work to tell our stories. And I often feel like I'm way flung out to the side in the process of how I do the work versus how the industry wants it done, expects it done, and how the money is made and having it done. But I kind of don't care, because I get one life that I'm aware of. And I just want to do it in a way that feels really good and the art feels true for me.
The life of Caribbean people is not really documented. So this idea of Caribbean life being fragmented is something that I've had in my mind for a long time. So when I came to write this collection for my father, I realized that it was the same process, and what I had were fragments, especially with him, because he wasn't around in a physical sense all the time. So all I had were photographs, scattered memories, remembrances, little parts of his life and parts of my experience with him. I never disliked my father. I always loved him and always was fascinated and captivated by him. My relationship with improvisational music is something that I'm still trying to theorize and trying to understand exactly why it is it works. So all I know is that in approaching a poem, it's about form and content. It's about matching process to a content. And for me, the act of writing poetry is kind of like a jazz soloist puts together a solo. It's related in that way, because as a writer, as a poet, you're always looking for the new. You're looking for something, a new way of saying something. You're using language that everyone uses, but you're always trying to use it in an original way. Always trying to have a phrase or a metaphor that is new.
So the decision to write this in the second person, a lot of people ask me about that. It's a very unusual thing to do. I've written short stories in the second person, and I've read a few, and there's not many examples of this technique. And the reason I opted for that is I was trying to problem solve right here. It's almost like someone else telling me you should have worn a better shirt for this interview, or you should have read a better chapter, you should have done this. And it's almost like someone else talking to me. And I tried this technique, and I did a lot of also questions. Who is the you telling the story? And this is addressed, who is this person who's saying this? You should have done this. Why did you do that? Who is that person? Is that you? Or are you the person listening to that voice? And Marley also wonders, because we always think that our thoughts originate from us. We've all had experiences where we've done something or said something and we've thought, what was I thinking? Why did I do that? What made me do that? So Marley also ponders, is the voice in me? Am I the you telling the story? Is that me or is someone else? Is there a spirit? Because he observes this, that spirits, because they're so bored. Because I have to also figure out, what do ghosts do all day? Because we know in the horror movies, ghosts turn up and be scary, but that's just like a fraction of their day. What do they do for the rest of the time, rest of the 364 days? And so this idea that they're so bored that they walk around following humans and whispering thoughts in their ear, which they mistake as their own thoughts. This was the explanation for me why Sri Lanka and why the world seems to get itself in such catastrophes every time. Maybe there's a lot of spirits wandering out, whispering bad ideas in people's ears.
I think that's really what art is all about, is communicating these big complex objects, which are ideas inside our head, but in a non-dissected way, in which the object isn't completely dissected, or it's dissected in such a way it can be reassembled in somebody else's mind. So you get a full experience of what the artist had, or as close as he or she can make it. So I think that to me is what art does. It's a way of communicating these wonderful ideas and feelings that we have inside our head, and they're trapped there, and art allows you, by playing music or painting or writing poetry or whatever, it allows you to communicate this in this holistic kind of way.
We hope you've enjoyed this program. To hear more from these guests, listen to their full interviews. Max Richter's music featured in this episode was On the Nature of Daylight from the Blue Note Books. Music is courtesy of Max Richter, Universal Music Enterprises, and Mute Song. These interviews were conducted by Mia Funk with the participation of collaborating universities and students. This episode was produced by Mia Funk and Tom Logan. If you'd like to get involved with our creative community, exhibitions, podcasts, or submit your creative works for review, just drop us a line at team@creativeprocess.info. Thanks for listening.